And good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690K GGF Kyle High with you this morning. Hope you are having a fantastic day out there. Currently outside, 28 degrees. And joining us on the phone, as he does the first Friday of the month, we're talking to Representative Doug Blex. And Mr. Blex, good morning. How are you doing today?
Good morning to you, Kyle. I'm back home. We got out yesterday late, so... Nice to be back home.
Absolutely, and hope you have a very restful weekend. One of the things I did want to ask you before we get to some of our other main topics, this is the first time we've been able to talk to you since the legislative session has started. How have things been a little bit different up there since because of COVID-19?
Well, so far, everybody getting used to the electronic glitches, WebEx, so we're using WebEx rather than Zoom, and getting plugged in. A lot of good options, actually, but it's really slowed things down. We have almost come to a crawl. The revisors writing bills are short on staff, and normally a 1 to 2 day turnaround in previous years to get a bill in legal form to be presented by the revisor's office, which is primarily all attorneys, has really crawled down to 4 to 5 days, maybe sometimes a week to get things out. So that's been a big adjustment, and certainly, getting all electronics. We had a glitch in the Health and Human Services Committee the other day. We couldn't get our electronic materials for the conferees and what they testify. So we're experiencing, it's a learning curve. It's definitely different than before, and it's but it's starting to gel. I think, you know, once we get everything worked out, and of course we haven't had any major cases of COVID within the legislatures that we're aware of at this point. So when you come in, there's a temperature monitoring device. You stand about 4 or 5 feet away, and it read your temperature, and so people are doing pretty good about, you know, making sure they're healthy before they get in.
I've had to do that too, going to a few of the basketball games around the area where they've had this, they do a wrist monitor. You hold your wrist up to this thing and it actually is able to read your temperature, which just kind of blew my mind. I had no idea that they could do that. So
a couple of years, my mom used to stick a mercury thermometer, a glass thermometer in our mouth, mm-hmm. hold it under her tongue and balance that. And for, you know, a couple of minutes, this thing, you stand 6 feet away and boom, it comes out with a temperature. Yeah.
No,
it's pretty amazing.
I remember the mercury thermometer, trying to keep that thing from falling out of your mouth. You really had to hold on to it. It wasn't very easy, that's for sure. All right. Well, sir, a few things that we did want to talk about, and we always discuss with you revenue.
Well, revenue is still holding up. We were actually 6.4% above the estimates in for January and for the fiscal year. For those folks that don't quite understand that started last July 1st, and to date we're about $4.9 billion, or about 3.4% above the estimates. Bean counters are still a little bit worried and nervous because of some of the delayed tax deadlines that's kind of impacted, thrown, you know, a payment into another fiscal year. But so far, so good. Kind of surprising to a lot of people. Still a lot of people hurting out there, but money seems to be, as far as revenue estimates, holding very good.
Yeah, the revenue in Coffeyville, from what I understand, for the last year, actually up. Tax receipts are actually up, which is a good thing to hear. And it's actually a little surprising to hear, because you would think, you know, during the pandemic it would go down, but it just shows that people are supporting local businesses in their area. And I think Independence was up as well. So it just shows that people are still supporting local businesses. So that's always good to hear. Also, and we actually had a story about this morning, about the Kansas Department of Labor. They've been having issues, of course, with unemployment. They said they've been blocking, since the system went back up on Tuesday, that they've blocked like over 500,000 attempts to access the unemployment site, but still, they're still having issues as of right now.
Yeah, that's pretty sad. I have a story to tell them, but since you brought it up, yeah, 540,000 fraudulent claims the first 24 hours. And ironically, that system could have and should have been installed way back when United States Department of Labor had given advance warning. I've got about three pages of documented accounts to various warnings from business, Department of Labor, saying your computer system is subject to major hacking, and it just largely went ignored. We had a, we still have about 9,000 people that haven't got their just due, employment that's been due them. And that's just been heartbreaking calls. You would not believe the calls that, I went through this summer and trying to help, and really almost felt powerless. And just kind of when I thought it couldn't get any worse, this story broke on all the fraudulent issues. And ironically, Kansas is number two in unemployment claims. Now, I'm talking nationally, behind California, if you can believe that. California has 39 million people in that state, which is about 12% of the nation's population. And they had a claim percent of 6.1. And Kansas is 2.9 million and less than 1% of the national population. And we're paying 9.5% of the claims, and wow, that's ranked nationally. And so, if you look at numbers, 1.5 million workers and 1 million unemployment claims, that really got past people. They should have been on top of that. I mean, that would almost reflect a 60-70% unemployment rate when, December's was 3.8. So it did make sense, and the sad part about it is those people that deserved it didn't get it, and we've had, we don't know what we've had, but roughly they estimate 300 to 400 million, has been paid out fraudulently. Got a frog here. Been paid out fraudulently, and of course, the spike of the graph, if you look at the graph of Kansas unemployment, you'll see a spike in January or March and April, and then it pretty well levels out until about September, and then it just starts shooting up. And we had 30,000 claims in September and 80 in December, and as opposed to a national chart for average of the other states, it's the same spike in March through April, but it levels out. So, yeah, we really dropped the ball. We had one secretary resign. We've had two acting secretaries. And everybody was telling them, business people were telling them that, hey, you got a problem or getting claims. And it was just a disaster. And now individual Kansans are going to have to do some cleanup because Department of Labor paid out fraudulent claims. It was almost a concept, when in doubt, pay out. And now they referred those monetary numbers to Kansas Department of Revenue, and all of a sudden, boom, people are getting 1099s that are fraudulent, and then they have to go through the process of cleaning that up, which is, that 1099 goes to IRS. So, and a lot of people didn't even realize they were being hacked, and a lot of it is international actors. We all know these send me money and give me your bank account from Nigeria, and a lot of that was going on there. And actually, we've seen, a bunch of those claims that should never have been paid. And now it's really kicking things back. I know local businesses have a trust fund they pay into. Some of them may see unemployment claims and premiums, because that's got to be replenished. We had over nearly $1 billion in that trust fund back in February, and now we're down to, we don't know for sure, probably $100 million.
Wow, that's a lot.
So that has just been totally depleted out there, and that's a real problem.
Yeah, and again, Basically, I guess the hackers found their way, into the system and were able to file fraudulent claims. But again, like you were saying, basically the method they were saying was just when in doubt, pay out, because we're not 100% sure if this is true or not. But just go ahead and pay it out, and we'll get it done with.
Yeah, and I kind of understand that people were hurt and need payments, but yet at the same token, I don't care what kind of an emergency pandemic we got going on, we still need to have safeguards. Mm-hmm. It is public money, and we're obligated to have a public trust on it. And how the hackers done it, they basically got in, hacked the system, and then they would change your bank account number that you may have put in there to deposit the money in their account. Well, that was primarily going in American banks, but then what we're finding out, a large percentage of them was just quickly swept into international accounts. So there was a lot of that going on. And then they got even smarter, because my son had a claim on him and never missed a day of work, got a notification. So then they started changing bank account numbers and addresses. So here's the deal. You will not know that your, account you was even hacked on until you get the 1099. And, of course, those are the really shockers. And, man, the phones rang off the wall. And we're working on getting it done. There's a couple of numbers that you can call and you can get online. But if you're a victim of identity theft and you need to get that rectified, and I'll give this number, and you may have already done it. It's 785-291-6051. That's 785-291-6059. And if you have a dispute, you can call that. And they're setting up extra staff and trying to resolve that, because, IRS don't play around. And if they get a 1099 and it says your income's X number of dollars you didn't get it, a lot of people's going to be find themselves owing more than what they really did.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You're right about the IRS not playing around. So one more thing we want to get to before we have to step away. But of course, like I said, things have been kind of slow to a crawl because, the pandemic. But what are a few of the things that you are currently working on, and what committees have you been assigned to?
Still working on the APRN bill, which is Advanced Registered Nurse Practitioners in the Health and Human Service. That was introduced probably about 10 days ago. We've not really seen the final product yet. We'll probably try to get that. Will be a great help to allow those folks to be able to practice without a collaborating physician. I also introduced a resolution, which hopefully maybe might get to work next week, on honoring our National Guardsmen for their service in Washington, D.C. We're involved with some tax transparency on Senate Bill 13 that come to the Tax Committee, which I'm on this year. A lot of discussion on that. A lot of county clerks are complaining that the date of implementation is too quick. I kind of agree with them, but at the same token, in my home county, in Montgomery County, a lot of people are still upset over nearly a 22% raise in taxes back in 2017. So we just need to know what's going on. That transparency, I think, is important. A lot of things going on with working out the Department of Labor issue. There's a couple bills I can't quite recall. I think one was 2196, a similar one in the House to fix what I've talked about most of this session as, the unemployment issue. So we need to get that straightened out. So those are some of the priorities that's going on. A lot of cleanup from the previous year. A lot of bills just come back because they died in the Senate, trying to get those taken care of too.
And also, I'm guessing quite a few bills also died last session because of COVID-19, which kind of cut the session short, correct?
That's true, and we had a lot of good bills. Governor vetoed one. One of them was the Kansas Promise Act, which would allow students to get into technical colleges. That's, you know, as long as they stayed in Kansas and worked there for work commitment. A really, really good bill. Our governor vetoed that, and we was at a point where, you know, we couldn't get back in session and override that. So that's one that's probably going to, you know, be able to go. In my one of my other counties, Cali County, getting them into the rural opportunity zone, we've kind of dealt with that for 3 or 4 years and can't get it done. And now they have a 35,000 population limit and on that, and then it all of a sudden, boom, population is just a few hundred below that. So we have to introduce it individually. So that's important for those people in the western part of my district, and I'm going to definitely support that.
Absolutely. Well, sir, I appreciate you coming on today, and we will talk to you again next Monday, and I hope you have a fantastic weekend.
Okay. Have a good day.
All right. Thank
God
you.
Bless you.
All right. Thank you very much, sir, and you yourself as well. All right. That was Representative Doug Blex with us today here on the Mighty 690 KGGF. We'll have that interview up on our website if you missed any part of it. He talked a good bit about the unemployment issues at KDOL, the Department of Labor. And again, we'll have that entire interview up on our website here in a little bit. So if you missed any of it, you can check it out there. We're going to go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, we'll have news at the top of the hour from Fox. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF.